Today's daf from Masechet Shviyos is daf Lamed Zayin. We're holding at the bottom of Lamed Vav Lamed Beis of Rabbi Yimi Boika Mir Rabbi Yochanan. So we've been talking about this whole business about luf and who gets the rights to the questions where some of the leaves were from Shviyos and some of the leaves were after Shviyos and the Aniyim took them and then the Amorite right to keep them, etc., etc. You're blowing my mind, says Rabbi Yimi. I don't understand. What the heck just happened? I mean, last I heard, there's an Isser Sfichin on Shviyos. And you're talking as if there's no Isser Sfichin. What do you mean if the Aniyim took it? They can keep it. They can't eat it. It's Usser. As to whether it's Usser Midiraiser, it's Usser Midirabbonin, fine. That's the famous machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and the Chachomim. So remember, because this is the first time that we're talking about Sfichin here, so let's just review. Obviously, when we learned the Masechet in the Mishnayos, we went over that machlokas, which we'll have later on. So this is the famous machlokas. What is the meaning of the pasuk that says, what are we supposed to eat? We're going to starve. Hein lo nizra. We're not going to be able to plant. V'lo ne'asof et tevuatenu. We're not going to be able to collect. And Kadosh Baruch Hu says, don't worry, the year before you'll get more. Fine. What does that mean? Lo nizra v'lo ne'asof et tevuatenu. I mean, obviously, what are you insane? If you didn't plant, there won't be anything to collect. So why are you mentioning separately? Just say, hein lo nizra. We're not going to be able to plant anything, so we're not going to have anything to eat. Isn't that the normal way that people would talk about it? I mean, do we have to speak out the fact, you know, if you don't plant anything, there won't be anything that grows and we won't be able to harvest it? It's very redundant. It says Rabbi Akiva. Well, obviously, we're talking about two different things. So, hein lo nizra, what that means, we won't be able to plant. And therefore, of course, we won't be able to harvest. And when it says we won't be able to harvest, it means even those things that grow spontaneously, there's always a little bit of growth that's going to come up the next year from seeds that had fallen on the ground and so on. Well, we won't be able to eat that either. So that means that this iser of eating things that grow during the Shana HaShviit is a d'oraisa, according to Rabbi Akiva. Okay? Now the Chachamim argue, and they say, no, actually, it's talking about two different things. Hein lo nizra. That's true. And then when it says, alone sofet v'atenu, that's talking about we are not allowed to do an asifa either of even of things that we had a right to plant before. We can't do a normal asifa. You remember how we went through this? You have to be ma'asifit. You have to, only in a way as if you're a stranger. You have to allow other people to come in and you have to allow it to be available for the chayat hasadeh and it's going to be chayim and biur once it's not available, et cetera, et cetera. So that's what we're complaining about. We won't even what does grow, we're not going to be able to be ma'asif as if we're owners and use it to sustain our families. So how are we going to survive? That's the question. So what is Sfichin? According to the Rabbanan, arguing with Rabbi Akiva, and we'll see later on that there's a machlokas on what particular kind of things the Sfichin is chal. But in any event, according to the Chachamim, where there is an Isser Sfichin, it is exerted the Rabbanan. Because the Rabbanan were afraid that people would plant, and they would claim that this is spontaneous growth. And so they come to the marketplace, and all of this grew in my thing, where that they were basically planting and doing everything nobody knew, and they're going around selling peres of Shviyas and claiming, I shouldn't say peres, yerokos of Shviyas, I mean peres in the overall sense, because there is no Sfichin on trees, because you can't plant this year new fruit. So those, there's no Isser Sfichin on. And because of that, the Chachomim answered it, such that even if it grows by itself, you're not allowed to eat it. So says Rabbi Yimi, I don't get it. I mean, the only way I can understand it is that this Mishnah apparently is such an old Mishnah that it was written, and Rebbe just simply incorporated it, but it was composed before the Isser Sfichin. And that's why it's ignoring the Isser Sfichin. But nowadays we have an Isser Sfichin. There's no way to apply this Mishnah because what right would they have to eat it at all? So he asked Rabbi Yochanan, Masnisa achelo gozer ala Sfichin? So is that the way we have to understand it? That the Mishnah actually was written before Sfichin existed as a concept? And Rabbi Yochanan did not like that comment, and he makes fun of it. Omar lei v'chivaliya hayita. Well, you were there when they made the gzera of Sfichin. You're talking so authoritatively that there is a gzera of svichin, and maybe it wasn't applied. You know what you're talking about. Rav Ami was, what does he mean? So Rav Ami figured, okay, so then what Rav Yochanan seems to be saying to me is, there's no such gezera, because svichin is the oraisa, and he holds like Rav Akiva. I mean, why else is he making fun of me? What do you mean, was I there? He's saying there was no such thing. You know, so you're reporting on something that never happened? So if that's the case, so Safa Rav Ami, that is a svichin, a libid Rav Yochanan, is a oraisa. It's Torah. And that's why he's making fun of me. How can you say the Mishnah was said before a Gezer Svechen? There wasn't a Gezer Svechen. I mean, obviously that makes things worse, though, not things better. So if you told me it's a D'oraisa, so how do you explain? At least the way I understood it, there was a way out of it. We could say it was said before. If Rabbi Yochanan really holds it's D'oraisa, so I understand how Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua are talking about over here, this machlokas, that they picked the leaves before, do I have to pay them back? I have to make a cheshbon with the aniyim, at the part that grew after and during the shminis, and do I have to pay them back for anything that had been there during the shminis? I don't understand. All of that was awesome. What are we talking about? Rabbi Yirmiyahu, well, there's a very simple solution to this, and that is that when the Mishnah was talking about luf, you know what it was talking about? It was talking about wild luf. Luf shoteh. And luf shoteh is fascinating because it grows without further ado for years. And because of that, assuming that this luf was actually growing still in the shana hashishit, so if it's growing in the shana hashishit, it would stay there. It stayed there through shviyas. Now it's talking about the Shana Shminis, and that's what the Mishnah is talking about. Those things that were taken by the Aniyim during the Shana Shviyas, and the halacha is that nobody answers Svichin if those Svichin were known to be growing in the sixth year. Now this was very nogeh halacha lemaisa. There's even a lot of discussions about what's the shear, how much of it has to be grown in the sixth year. Big Machlokas and the Chazan Ish was known to have actually visited the kibbutz, where you asked them, are we going to be able to eat this? And it was just it started growing. And he says, as long as it started growing, it doesn't, there's no shear. Started growing, then already you don't have an Isser Svichin. And based on that, everybody is semech that any growth during the Shana Hashishis takes off the Isser Svichin. So then that's what we would be talking about. We're talking about that it's luf shoteh. I don't understand. So Aite Rav Hoshaya. Rav Hoshaya brought a braisa that was said by Bar Kappara. And he brought this up when he had learned about it with the Chachomim and the Doron. And now normally when Rav Hoshaya brings a braisa, that is the best gushpanka to that braisa, right? Because Rav Hoshaya, that's Rabbi Chiya of Rav Hoshaya in the Bavli. And those are considered to be the reliable brisa. Now, over here, it's true Rabbi Chiya wasn't involved. But our assumption is that this brisa that was quoted by Bar Kappara, that this is an authoritative brisa. And it said over there, the same thing as our Mishnah, the Machlokes of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. And it said, Ale Luf Ale Bitzolim. Now, our Mishnah didn't say anything about Bitzolim. We had a whole question, what would be the din of Bitzolim? Whether we would say, Hainu Luf, Hainu Bitzolim. The Braita specified Hainu Bitzolim. Now, what are you going to say now? I mean, on the Mishnah, you could claim that the Luf that we're referring to is wild Luf that is going to survive for that long from Shishas. But onions? Itlach Meimah Alei Bitzolim Shoddim? There's no such thing. There's no such thing. I mean, there are plenty of wild onions. But there's no such thing as a wild onion that has the same characteristics of the luf that's wild. And so Bar Kappara is basically telling you that we are not talking about a case where the luf started in the Shana Hashishit, and that's the reason that we're not worried about Svichin. So we're back to the problem. And Lechora, the only answer we have to the problem is what Rabimi was saying. Rabimi was saying that obviously Svichin is not a D'oraisa, and it's a Drabbanan, and that the Mishnah is written, where it was rewritten from the time that was before the Isser Svichin. So now how are you going to be able to say what Rabbi Yochanan was saying? And what's Rabbi Yirmiyahu saying? We're talking about wild luf. You see, from Bar Kappara, you're not talking about wild luf. Well, Lamaisa, we don't find that Rabbi Yirmiyah said, you know, to Yufta or anything like else. Adarabba, the Gemara is about to analyze that Rabbi Yirmiyah stuck with what he said. Okay, so apparently the fact that the Rabbi Chiya wasn't involved means that the Braisa Bar Kappara is not necessarily going to be trustworthy, because it wasn't the Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Yirmiyah wasn't together. All right? Anyway, so let's go back to Rabbi Yirmiyah. Let's talk about the implications of Rabbi Yirmiyah, because the implications of Rabbi Yirmiyah are very striking and a little bit disturbing. Because, I mean, what Rabbi Yirmiyah is saying is that even though the luf, that luf was growing from before. All right, so now, a davar sheyesh lo bi'ur, shenimsa betoch davar she'en lo bi'ur, nonetheless, yesh lo bi'ur. Okay, now this whole thing is very, very confusing. It goes back to the way, remember, that we mentioned at the beginning of the sugya. I said, let's set it aside for now. Now is the time that we can no longer set it aside. The problem was, and this was the problem that was raised by the Rush, and the problem was that if we go, according to the Shas Lakita, so then none of this makes any sense. Who cares when the leaves grew? The leaves are being used as salad greens, and therefore they should go according to the Shas Lakita. So anyway, the whole Mishnah doesn't make any sense. Forget about Rabbi Yirmiyah. It's nothing to do with whether it's Luf Shota or not. So then how do you say that if that's the case, I mean, let's just look at the Mishnah itself. And that was his problem. We said that basically we're talking about a case where you have some of the leaves that had grown afterwards, and some of these leaves had grown before, and that the halacha is that we should go according to making a cheshbon as to when it is that it grew. Okay, I mean, what happened to the problem of saying that it goes specifically according to the zman of the lakita? So you remember that the Rashi's approach to the sugya, which we said at the time, seems to be very strange. And the only way that we made it, what he said was, the only way that the Mishnah would work out is where you actually had torn it out. And the way that we could understand the Mishnah is that actually you detached them, took off the leaves during Shvias, and you ripped it out from the ground, and then you have the luf was thrown back on the ground, and it re-rooted in the ground. A very, very strange kind of way to say it. Okay, but let's assume that we could have learned the Mishnah that way. But now that Rabbi Yirmiyah is saying what he's saying, now it's very confusing. Because what he's saying is that a dover sheyesh lo biur, that is nimtze betoch davar she'en lo biur, yesh lo biur. What he's claiming is that the actual onion part, the bulb, in the luf, as long as it's luf shaita, that started in the sixth year. So the Mishnah later on says that it's not going to be chayav in biur because it survives. And only things that don't survive for the chayas asada are chayav to biur. And Rabbi Yirmiyah said, okay, that's what we're talking about. And there's a machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua about the leaves. But I don't understand. If the actual bulb of the luf is not chayav in biur, so isn't it a little strange that we're saying that something that grows out of a bulb that's not chayav in biur is chayav in biur? I mean, shouldn't we say that the leaves are basically go according to the main body of the plant? So I understand if we only had the Mishnah, that wouldn't bother me so much. Because the Mishnah, we said, was talking about specifically could be that by the time the zman of the biur, maybe they were no longer connected. Okay, that's possible. But Rabbi Yirmiyah is, the whole point of Rabbi Yirmiyah is coming to explain Adarabba, that it was connected, and that there's no problem of Sfichin, and that there's still a din of Biur in the seventh year, even though we're talking about over here, they're still being connected. And we have new leaves that grew in the Shana Hashminis. So you see that something that is Chayev in Biur, which is growing from something that is not chayev to biur, is still chayev in biur. I think that's a little bit strange, isn't it? I mean, does Rabbi Yirmiyah stand by that? My Ovid led Rabbi Yirmiyah. Does he really hold that? No, he doesn't hold that. He would agree that we're talking about over here a case where the leaves were pulled off. It's true that in the eighth year in the Shemines, those are new leaves. Because he's talking about something that survived from the Shishas. And then he cuts off those leaves before the Zman HaBiur. So there's still, everything is still available in the Sada. Okay, but now it's not growing from something that is available in the Sada anymore. So therefore, what Rabbi Yirmiyah is saying, Rabbi Blazer argues with Rabbi Yoshua, where we had a wild loof, and it started in the Shana Hashishis without Svichim, and then it grew leaves, and those leaves had grown during Shvias, and then we pulled it out of the ground, like the strange way that the Rash was learning, and then it started growing again, and it put down new roots, and now new leaves grew. And the question is, do I have to give it to the Aniyim, or am I allowed to keep it myself, because the Aniyim didn't take it? And it has nothing to do with Biur being Chal on something which itself isn't B'chayiv Biur, because it isn't Chayiv Biur. Okay, I mean, I don't know. If you guys feel that that's easy to swallow, I find that shot very, very strange.
The whole sugya is for Luf mention.
That's what it sounds like. Okay. So there is a different girsa, and that's the gross girsa. So he explains it. He has the girsa goes like this. So we ask the kasha from Bar Kapara, where Bar Kapara it says Bitsalim. And so we ask the question, Islach Lamemar Bitsalim Hashotim? And then we ask, so ma avad le Rabbi Yirmiyah? Potar lo b'shishi kev ba'alim. Meaning that over here, when the Brisa implies that the olim are chayiv in biur, even though the luf itself is not chayiv in biur, that's talking about where he was actually had torn off those leaves. And then, obviously, they're not going to be miskayim. And there, we don't go after the Yikr. And what about Rabbi Yirmiyah? Milze de Rabbi Yirmiyah. From the fact that Rabbi Yirmiyah was explaining this as the Ale of Shota, that means that he didn't tear them off, because that was his whole point, is that they're growing from something that had come from the Shishis. Because, I mean, if we're talking about here that he was Shokfan, so then what's the difference if he was Shokfan? Even if it would be regular Bitsalim, or even if it would be normal luf, not wild luf. So then at that point, there's biur, because they're no longer growing. And if they're no longer growing, then they're called a lechaya min asada. In which case, the olim are the ikr. And in that case, the ikr is something that should be chayav. And we're seeing from over here that yesh lo olim biur. So that would mean that a dovash yesh lo biur, that's how he is goris the whole thing. Okay, so that is one way of understanding it. Now, Rabbi Yosef has another way of understanding it. Rabbi Yosef says, I'll give you a completely different explanation of the machlokes between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua, and it won't have anything to do with the way that you understood it up until now, that it's the same machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yosef as to whether the owner has a right to take it, and therefore if the Aniyim didn't take it, so then they were Mevater, and now it belongs to me, and I'm the owner, and that's dependent on machlokes about Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yosef about whether you have a right as an owner to keep things. Rabbi Yehuda says, you don't have a right. Forget about all of that. Nothing to do with that. I say, what we're talking about over here is that this was planted, it was planted during Shishas. And what's more, Asa Beitzim Lifnei Shvias. Now here, by the way, this thing about Asa Beitzim, many use as a raya against the Chazon Ish. Because Asa Beitzim is a very strange way to say it grew things. I mean, so when do we call growing things Beitzim? So the tiny that maybe Beitzim is a shear. It has to be the shear of a Beitza, and it's not true that any little bit. I mean, obviously, if you want to attack the Chazon Ish with that, you can try. But I mean, the fact that we use the Lashon of Beitzim to mean growths doesn't necessarily mean it's a shear. I mean, so most of you shouldn't understand. Beitzim just means something grew. So something grew during sixth year. And here's what happened. He did not detach it. He stepped all over it. Dichno b'shvias. And by doing that, remember that we had in the original Mishnah that talked about the luf, that you should put it in a place where people walk, right? Why? Because if you put it in a place where people walk, it's not going to take root again. And it's not going to actually be regrowing. Well, that's what the guy did. He went ahead and he was dichna. He walked all over it while they were still attached. He never disconnected it. And what happened is that the luf continued to grow anyway. So then, on the eighth year, Akaroba Matzai Shvias. So here's what I understand, says Rabbi Yosef, is the issue. If you're going to tell me that dikun, meaning that trampling over it, is the equivalent of ikur, so then that would mean that up until that time, everything that grew is going to belong to the aniyim. Because according to me, everybody agrees with Rabbi Yehuda that only aniyim are allowed to take it. So that's the question. If it's considered to be ikur, so then he doesn't have any rights at all. If you're going to tell me, in temar ein dikun ki ikur, so then it doesn't all go to the aniyim. Then you would have to make some kind of cheshbon, which is a little bit strange. And there's, what is the makor come with? Why don't we say that it all goes to the baal habayit? And we'll see in a moment. But the point over here is that, remember, that when you crush something like a potato, but that doesn't mean that it doesn't continue growing out of the picked potato, right? You can pick a potato, you can put it in a drawer, and you come back a week later, and it's got leaves growing out of it. Now, those leaves are not growing from the ground. So, therefore, they wouldn't be considered to be leaves that are growing out of Shemitah, if it was during Shemitah, right? The same thing is true of the luf. That's the shaila. Do we view this as necessarily being the equivalent of ikur? Or do we say, can you really know? You can't really know, because you have things that will continue growing out of a completely detached luf. So maybe you put the luf inside of a drawer. Therefore, says Rabbi Yosef, it's always a suffix. I don't know whether you are looking at new growth that's coming from the ground. So since I don't know, you should settle up with them, you know? If you're 100% sure, like Rabbi Yoshua, and you hold that crushing something is definitely not the same thing as being okerit. So then, okay, so then he would say, so then what do I have to make a cheshbon? You know, there's nothing to discuss. Everything would have to be given to the aniyim if I had actually uprooted it. But over here, I didn't do anything to it. I trampled it. So what? I only picked it in the eighth year. So what's it have to do? It goes to me. It's the eighth year. There was nothing that was given to the aniyim at all. There was nothing right to give to the aniyim. But Reb Lazer holds, I don't know. I mean, can you really be sure? And therefore, yaseh cheshbonim aniyim. So it's a completely different approach to the Mishnah. Has nothing to do with the machlokas of Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Yossi later on about whether a baal habayis has rights to it. You avoid all of these crazy complications in which you're talking about that you tore it out and it took reroute. All of that is wild. My explanation is the best explanation, Tanya's Rabbi Yosef. It avoids all the complications, and it's talking about a completely different machlokas. Whew! What amazing sugyas, I tell you. I think that Baruch Avram has something to tell us about trampling onions. What did you want to tell us, Baruch Avram? Not today?
No, it was a joke. Luftovers.
Can you do anything about Barnea, or you're too far away?
No, it's his joke.
Barnea has just stumbled across something which wasn't his.
Miturgaman. Okay, I got you.
Rebbe, the word mitvatzvetz means something just breaking out, and that could be that sense of beitzim, like the Chazon Ish.
Thank you.
I was also thinking that. Rabbi.
Beautiful. I didn't think of that. That's excellent shot. Thank you so much. Excellent. Yeah.
Beautiful. Also, that's how bulbs grow. You know, we're talking about onions there. When they multiply, the bulbs grow out of the root.
Right. Right. Excellent. Thank you so much. Okay. It makes me feel much happier with all of that. All right. See? So wonderful learning with you guys. Such esteemed habits. May we be zecha to many birthdays together. Anyway, wishing you wonderful, wonderful besurais. And ibud kol ivei Hashem, ibud kol seinei haaretz, a real Yerusha Saaretz without leaving one of such people there, And may we be zecha to live to see such incredible things. B'meir b'yameinu. Kol tov, everyone. Chizku v'yimtzu.